Kevin Woodley joins us from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com, our weekly chat about the goalies. Woodley, how are you?
I'm good. Are your guests eligible? If I drive my car to Edmonton, by that point, it may need an oil change. That's a pretty
right.
good contest.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, good opportunity to come see the new place. Sure.
It looks beautiful on television, and all the reviews sound great. And yeah, it's got to be an exciting time for Oilers fans.
They're pretty excited for the most part. Cautiously optimistic, I think. The new arena, they got that Connor McDavid kid. He looks pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. And, got to see him a couple times in the preseason. Not bad at all.
And for me on the Edmonton Oilers, after Connor McDavid, the single most important player in the Oilers is Cam Talbot. He proved last year from December till the end of the season, he had a .924 save percentage. He can be among the league's most reliable, consistent goalies. He has to do it again, Kevin. And I know you've trained with a lot of goalies. Like, doing it for 1 year is one thing. Doing it again and right off the start is another. What makes you believe that Talbot's last 4 months weren't just kind of a great hot streak?
Because they're sort of, I don't know, what's the way to put, best way to put this? His game doesn't play to extremes. He plays everything, for the most part, neutral. And I just see him style-wise, again, this, I mean, there are still going to be ups and downs, but from a style perspective, when I watch him play, the approach he takes positionally and tactically, the way he integrates certain techniques, I expect him to have not as big ups and downs and big swings as he progresses in his career. I expect him to be, you know, a little more even. Again, because he doesn't play to extremes. He's not like Lundqvist was when he played with him in New York. He's not on his goal line. He's not like Gustafson was when he was in Detroit and Boston, way out beyond the edge of the crease. He plays a very neutral game, and I believe that translates to consistency. Now, again, last season we've seen him. There are always steps that have to be taken as you progress in your career. And the move from backup to number one is a big step. The fact he got the taste with the Rangers the year before led me to believe that he was closer to making that step because he'd played for a long period of time when Lundqvist was out in that role, learning how to manage both your sort of fatigue and your sort of energy levels, as well as managing your game, which is a lot easier to do as a backup. You've got a lot of time to go out before practice, after practice, work with the goalie coach. Tough to do that as a number one. There's usually a step still to becoming a number one, whether it's the pressures that come with it, the expectations, especially in a Canadian market after coming from New York, or again, just over the course of a season, a longer period of time with a new goalie coach, not having as much time to focus on your game, a new voice in your ear after Benoit Allaire with the Rangers for years, switching to Dustin Swartz. I'm not surprised there was, you know, a learning curve, a speed bump there early. But overall, when you look at his game, I just think it's one that should translate to consistency. The highs may not be as high, but I also don't think the lows will be as low, and I expect good things from him. And, you know, frankly, when I look at their backup situation right now, I think they're going to need good things from him.
Yeah, I know you're not the biggest fan of Gustafson, although, hey, I've looked at the schedule. I don't even think you need to play him in October.
And I'm a big fan of Gustafson, the person.
Yeah.
And talking to Dustin Swartz a little bit in Vernon, the work ethic and the mentality for the role, like you said, a role that's not going to require him to play very much, if at all, through the first month of the season. You know, you talk about learning curve. Being a backup is a different job description, and it's one that he's done. And so maybe there is enough value in Gustafson, the person, and Gustafson, the goalie, who's used to that, you know, the demands of being a backup, that he will work in that position. I don't want to dismiss him outright.
Now, what are you hearing on Jake Allen's injury?
Well, I mean, sounds like he is going to be fine, and he's going to start for the St. Louis Blues in the season opener, and there's got to be, you know, a sigh of relief there. Although I will say, Carter Hutton looked really good. Preseason is a grain of salt thing for me with goaltenders. So it largely depends. You really got to look at the roster they're playing behind and whether that roster is, especially on the back end, what the structure's like. But Carter Hutton looked really good in the preseason. And so as much as Jake Allen is the guy there, if he's out a short period of time, and it doesn't sound like he's going to miss any time, but even if this was a week or two, I don't know that you panic in St. Louis, because not every team is in this situation, but they're a team that I think in Hutton has a guy who has been, you know, overlooked largely behind Pekka Rinne, but is capable of giving you quality starts over a short period of time. So good news in that Allen doesn't appear to be, you know, there's no setback there, like that's going to cost him major time. But I also don't think it would have been quite the panic in St. Louis that it might have been in other cities.
Really?
I don't mind Carter Hutton. Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, no, Carter Hutton, nothing wrong with that. Now, when you look at certain teams like Jarmo Elak, I saw a report today, he might not be ready for the season opener. There are, like, we saw what happened in Montreal last year without Carey Price. Their team did not do very well. I don't know, you know, if the team's not that good, I don't know if one goalie can make that much of a difference. Maybe it's a psychological thing, but every team, like if Edmonton loses a starting goalie, they would be in trouble. Montreal, we can go down the list. Which teams, Kevin, do you think have really good backups or good 1B guys where they won't be as impacted by an injury?
Well, let's start with the Islanders. We saw what happened last year when they lost Jarmo Elak. Thomas Greiss arguably outperformed him anyways when he came in. And they still had J.F. Berube sitting there as a guy they picked up off waivers from the Kings and kept all season as a third goalie. So I like the 1A, 1B of Halak and Greiss. I don't think there's, as much as Greiss struggled in his one chance at the World Cup and as good as Halak was when he got that chance to take over, I don't think still that there's a lot to choose from between those two goaltenders. So that's a good tandem. Probably next on that list, Michael Neuwirth and Steve Mason in Philadelphia. I do believe, as I said before, I think Neuwirth found some things in his game two summers ago and applied them last season. You saw it in the playoffs how effective he was. He has struggled when he's given a, you know, sort of a starter's workload to maintain consistency. But he's made some changes in the last year or so that I think, you know, could make him a pleasant surprise for a lot of people going forward. And Steve Mason's become a guy since leaving Columbus who, you know, probably still clings to their reputation in Columbus, but is much better than that. And then is in fact, when you kind of look at some of the advanced metrics, been one of the better starting goalies in the league for the last couple of years. So I like the tandem there. Florida, with an aging Luongo coming off a hip surgery, they go and sign Reimer to a long-term deal. Yeah, you take a look at the cap, you know, a lot of focus last year on Dallas and the $10.4 million they have tied into Letton and Niemi. When you look at the fact the Canucks are still paying part of Luongo's salary, that tandem with Reimer for the next 5 years comes in at under $8 million. That's not bad for the level of goaltending you're going to get there. I still think Luongo, as fierce and proud as they come, he is going to cling to that number one spot for as long as he can, and I still think he's capable of doing it. But I also think James Reimer is a guy who's capable of giving you number one quality starts in the NHL. So that's one of the better ones in the league. And last but certainly not least, and probably the most improved goaltending in the NHL, other than Price coming back healthy in Montreal, is, you know, down the road for you guys in Calgary. Brian Elliott and Chad Johnson, compared to what they had last year and the struggles they had keeping three goalies happy early last season, is just a massive upgrade for the Calgary Flames. You know, I've been a big Brian Elliott guy for years. I had wished the Blues had given him the chance they gave him this past offseason for the two previous playoffs rather than pulling the rug out from under him each time. And I think Chad Johnson, despite a suspect preseason, again, grain of salt there, going home, I'm curious as to whether there's any extra pressure on him because he didn't look great in the preseason. He didn't look as good as I think of him as a goaltender. I think he's a very capable sort of 1B guy if he plays like he did in Buffalo last season for the Calgary Flames. And that, you know, compared to what they had last year, that may be the best tandem comparatively going forward from 1 year to the next in Calgary.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us discussing goaltenders on the eve of the NHL season. Kevin, what's the latest update on the pants? Have any goalies actually received these new slimmed-down pants?
I'm hearing that some either have or will be. Don't forget, they can't ship them straight to the goalies. The manufacturers have to ship them to the NHL head office first, and then it gets sent out to the goalies, so there's a delay in that process. It's not a snap of the fingers. Everything has to get measured first. At the end of the day, it's not happening to the start of the season. Of all the goalies that start when things kick off tomorrow night, I think there's, you know, I don't know that any of them have them. I know for sure that, you know, like four of the six goalies on the rosters for tomorrow night don't. And so it's obviously not happening out of the chute. Now, here's the question. There's kind of two parts. One, how long until they get it? And my impression is it's going to be sometime in the next week to 10 days that guys start to get this. And the second part is, how long do you give them to get used to it? Again, I'm not sure if we're going to see some pushback from the PA, because there has been an agreement to this point that they're going to proceed with pants, but it was, you know, it was always with the idea that we start the season with them. Well, now it's not ready to start the season. Now you're asking guys to switch mid-season. Are you going to give them a week? Are you going to give them 2 weeks, maybe the 1st of November? I'm really curious to see that, and will it depend on when they get them? If the guys in Vancouver get their pants tomorrow, do they have a week? And does that mean that if the guys in Edmonton get theirs next week and they get a week, are they playing in disproportionate gear in that week in between? In other words, because the Canucks goalies got it early, do they have to be in it earlier? Well, the say the Edmonton goalies are still in their old stuff but haven't had as much time. We're talking about points in the standings. I don't think these equipment changes are going to make a huge difference overall, but if there is a difference, it will be in the adjustment period. And so you may see some leaky goals, some goals that go through holes that guys, you know, all the way through training camp in the preseason haven't been holes between, say, the arms and the legs when they're in a blocking butterfly. And those can make a difference. So I don't think you can stagger it, and that means the guys that get them early and get a chance to experiment will be in an advantage. It creates a lot of big questions. I'm not sure that I've heard anyone with the answers yet. And the first answer is, when will they have it, and when do we expect them to start playing? The manufacturers themselves are still kind of waiting to hear on that one.
So a month away. Is that safe to say?
I think it could be sooner than that. I think because there are shipments of this stuff, if not already in Toronto, certainly going to be there in the next day or so and then set out to the teams. I think there could be a push for November 1st. I don't think you're going to get a huge grace period for these guys. But again, I could be wrong. Here's the one thing. These are all cookie cutter made to the new measurements. We saw, if you read Elliot Friedman's 30 Thoughts column this week, kind of echoed a lot of what I heard from goalies this summer, that the handful that got the chest and arm, is the arms were not made to the custom specs, or the custom specs were wrong. Because, you know, for Ryan Miller, for example, it was 4 inches too short and left a huge gap between the glove and on his forearm. I heard in that column by Elliot Friedman, sounded like the same thing for Steve Mason. So if you have that situation with the pants, and now all of a sudden you're in you get into that situation where somebody's sending them back, hey, listen, these aren't safe, they're just not long enough, you guys have screwed up the measurements, and now you have to have them remade by the manufacturer and resent to Toronto and remeasured and then sent back to the team, that could put you into the month territory. But we're not there yet. I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised if that's some of the stuff that starts to happen based on, you know, what we've seen with other equipment changes over the years.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's just that simple and easy, especially because from Vaughn to CCM to the other ones, there's no set exact measuring system, is there?
No, there is a new system in place that creates new standards. But whether that standard is the same size, like whether a large in one company is the same as a large in the other, they do have to fit those windows. So even if one company's calling it an extra large and the other's calling it a large, it has to have the same waist measurement, and it's that waist measurement, and then a thigh measurement is what the goalie will be measured to. So even if it says a different thing on the label, it's still going to be sized down to within that sizing matrix for the goalie himself. And what's going to be really interesting is how much of a grace they give guys who tuck their chest and arm into their pants. And I know this may seem like an odd thing, people listening, but it really is a personal preference. I used to wear mine loose so that the chest and arm sat outside of the pants. Got opened up and stretched out the wrong way and lost an appendix to a slap shot. Now mine is tucked in every time. But if you are a guy that tucks your pants or tucks your chest and arm into your pants, you need a couple of inches to do that. And they're talking about, giving those guys a little more room, But talking to the manufacturers, it doesn't sound like much. And so a lot of those guys that are used to tucking it in may find that now uncomfortable. So again, does it mean they're not going to be able to adjust? No. But it's going to be a bigger adjustment potentially for those guys than it is for others.
Kevin, quickly for fun, who will win the Vezina this year?
If he's healthy, I don't think anyone in their right mind would choose anyone other than Carey Price, to be frank. As good as Braden Holtby was behind a much better team than the Montreal Canadiens, if Price plays like he did 2 years ago, the fact he missed last year may make him an even stronger candidate, not just for the Vezina, but for the Hart, if he was able to repeat that. Because what screams MVP more than getting him to the playoffs, falling apart completely without him, and then if he can get back to that form and lead them back to the playoffs again this season, that would be a pretty strong statement. He's far and away, they said this going into the World Cup, he's at another level above the other guys, maybe him and then Lundqvist and then a tier below. And the only thing I can see slowing that down, even with a team that isn't very good in front of him, is injury. He is by far and away the favorite. Like I said, I would not hesitate to put money on him, not just for the Vezina, but also for the Hart Trophy this year.
I love it, Kevin. We will have some actual games to break down and discuss next Monday. We'll talk to you then.
Yay! Look forward to it.